gonna do something a little. Oh, praise for Lee. Sold his house and got the price that he wanted.
Amen.
All right, so that's good. And this thanks to Norm for helping out in that area or whatever. Great. All right. I know we've been in Matthew. We're doing all the parables in Matthew, but we're going to do something a little different this day, and I'm going to need some help. So while my notes are out of Matthew, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 5, because Luke chapter 5 has a little bit different interpretation. Well, not interpretation. There's a verse there that's a little different. It mirrors Matthew almost exactly. But there's a little bit different interpretation there. So if you turn to Luke 5, I'm not going to put it up on the screen, but I will share my screen with my notes. If I can find my notes. And that way the folks on Zoom can kind of see what's going on a little bit. And now, just to bring us up to speed, Jesus is talking about the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The disciples of the Pharisees and John's disciples are asking the question, hey, you guys don't do it like we do it. You don't fast like we fast. What's the deal? And we already did the whole bridegroom thing, all right? And bottom line is, it's really, the theology of this is really Christ trying to show the Jews, you can't hold on to the old when I'm trying to do something new. And it won't be this week, but it'll probably be next week. We'll get into a little bit more of that theology on the differences between the Old and New Testament. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of the Old Testament, so I'm not saying that there's something wrong with the Old Testament. It's just that God is doing something different because of our failure to be able to adhere to the Old Testament. And so there's a whole lot of theology here there's a whole lot of thought in this. It gets kind of deep when you start looking at Old Testament versus New Testament, works versus faith. So we'll get into a lot of that next week, and you got to figure out how that ties in. But since it's 2022 and it's a brand new year, I want to take it more from a practical side on what it really means to us. And so we'll get into all of the other theology, but I really want to tear this parable up because this really has changed my life for 2022. Now, I've preached this at a couple places or whatever. I just praise God for these parables. I talk too much. Let's get going. All right. This is what it says in Matthew. But somebody who has Luke chapter 5, verse 36 to 39, just read all of that. And particularly spend time on 39. So I don't care whether it's the Funny Bible or King James or whatever. If somebody can just read that for us, that would be great.
Then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old garment. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskin will be ruined. But new wine must be put in new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better.
Oh, so got to remember verse 39, and that is the difference in the Matthew account and the Luke account, is that last part that she said, nobody desires new wine immediately because, hey, I just had the old wine, and that's pretty darn good for me. So let's see how far we can get and amaze Davy with the speed at which we go through these scriptures. I don't sew, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on the garment thing. So I had to do some research on that because I don't sew. So the garment thing is, hey, if you got an old piece of garment and you put a new patch on it, once you, God bless you, once you once you wash that garment, my understanding is, my understanding is that that new patch will shrink, and it's just going to make the tear. Yeah, different. So, bless you again. All right. So that's the idea that we're talking about here. Now, I didn't grow up like that because Mom took care of all of that. You know, I had what they call, dungarees. You know, I had dungarees back in the day. And they had to iron on patches, iron the thing on or whatever, blah, blah. So we're kind of talking back in the day, you know. So if there's any seamstresses here that can confer, yes, this is in fact true, then we can move on. Good. All right, so I don't know anything about sewing. Now, I do know something about some wine. So, because I used to drink a lot. Stay safe, Mac. All right, so I'm gonna spend a little more time on that area because I do know something about some wine. Open your eyes and wake up, Al. Look like you already had some. All right, here we go.
Old wine is better.
All right.
Aged wine is better.
No. So we're going to get there, Al. Al is actually right. All right. Now, I want you to pull out. There's three important elements in this scripture that I want you to not. This is the Matthew account. It's pretty much the same as Luke, but this is what I want you to see. Point out the three or four elements in just this verse alone. It will. Man, this is just powerful. All right. Neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runs out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles and both are preserved. Okay, give me some elements out of that scripture.
What scripture?
Oh, well, it should be Luke 5 and 36, but Matthew's on the screen, but it's pretty much the same. Doesn't matter. If you go
to Matthew, though?
9:16.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, the first thing I see is it says, nor do people put. So it's actions of people.
So they're actions of people. All right. Yes. They are actions of people. Nobody in their right mind. Okay, so let me just give you some background, historical background on this. Because nobody uses wineskins anymore that I'm aware of. You know, we got bottles and stuff like that. But back in the day, you had these animal skins that were sewn into wineskins. All right, and when you put wine in them, the wine, as Al says, it ferments and it expands, or it grows, and it will stretch the wineskins. All right, which is great. When the wineskin is old, it has been stretched to its max capacity, so it can't stretch anymore. So when you pour new wine in the old wineskins, and you fill that up again, it can't stretch anymore. And when it ferments and starts to expand from the gases there, all right, it's going to bust. And then you'll lose the wineskin and the wine. All right? So that's the history here. So what he's saying here, back to what Roger says, you know, it takes action here. The action is, all right, here's the first element. Nobody, man, person, nobody, the person who's doing the action, that's element number one, all right? Element number two, new wine. Stay with me. Element number three, the bottles. Old bottle, new bottle. Got it? That's all you need to know for right now. Now, let's take the parable in the natural. Based upon what I just told you, it doesn't make sense for anybody to put their best wine into an old wine bottle that you know is going to break. Got it? Now,
yep.
I have, because my dad, we had pinochle parties when I was growing up or whatever. I did see my dad put some cheap wine liquor into a good bottle. And as he was pouring the cheap liquor into the good Chivas Regal bottle, or you know, he was saying, I ain't gonna have all them fools drink up my good stuff. So, but that's not, you know. So I know a little bit about liquor, you know, anyway. But I've never seen anybody put the good stuff into the cheap bottle. Yeah, there you go. All right. So same principle here. Nobody does that. The new wine, question. Now we got to figure out, now that we understand the parable in the natural, nobody does this. It's going to mess you up. What does the, and Roger said on the one, the actions of others, all right? What does the new wine represent in the parable?
As believers.
No.
It represents the gospel.
The gospel. The new covenant, the Holy Spirit, faith rather than works, God's best. Make sense? Think about communion, wine. When Jesus gives the communion meal with the disciples, he says, he takes the wine and says, this is my blood, which represents the new covenant I desire to take with you. So now you got evidence in the scripture that in the parable, this new wine probably represents the new covenant, which is by faith and not by works, which is through Christ and not through the law. Got it? New wine. Is God's best represented in this?
Yes.
Absolutely, because it's through Christ and that's God's best, his only begotten. All right. Now, stay with me. So Deb was wrong on that. What does the wineskin represent? Now Deb is correct. Yes, it is the person. Absolutely. Yeah, there you go. So let's take the parable again. Nobody in their right mind will put their best into the old you.
That's true.
And not only does no man put their best in the old you, God will not put his best in the old you. I may be taking some liberties here, but that's how. So this parable just messed me up.
Well, I see it as when God saves us, he says we are a
new creature.
Right.
The old has passed away and the new has come.
2 Corinthians 5:17.
Right.
If any man, yep, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and two or three things have become new. No? All things have become new. Got it. I'm just checking you. And herein, as I read this, became my dilemma. And why I want to do it differently in 2022. God's not going to put his best into something that's an old wineskin. And I realized that for the majority of my Christian life, I have lived changed, but not new. New involves change, but all change is not new.
Change scares people.
Yes.
If our hearts become so rigid in what we think we are, then we don't look at the new.
Yes. So I say that, and I'm just talking about me. What do you got, Deb?
New also, there's a cost to the change, the new.
Yes, there is. We're going to talk about that. Yes, remember that. That there is a cost to the change. Here we go. All right. The reason why I say that I've been doing my Christian thing wrong is because I've lived most of my life changed, because the gospel and Christ has changed me. But I have not always operated in newness of life. And the reason why I never saw the difference is because the changed me, all right, was successful. And the changed me, I could see the change in me. And the changed me was successful. And I never understood the scriptures, and nobody ever really taught me the scriptures like this. Let me tell you what I mean. In the parable, if you put new wine into old wineskins, will that work?
No.
You're wrong. It does work.
You can't fill it up.
Yeah, you can.
Oh. Roger just said something. No. There's, both of you are right. Roger just said something I did not see before. Exactly. So, Roger gets the star now. Let me tell you, I didn't think about this. Either you can't fill it up because you got, both of you are right. Either you can't fill it up because you got to have, because you know it's going to bust if you fill it up, right? So you can't get all of what you, you can't get all of what the person doing the action wants to do for you and through you and in you, because it's got to give room, all right, to expand. Or he does put all of it in you, and then it lasts for a while, but then as more growth and expansion comes, it busts.
Or either you can't see it.
Okay.
Can't change if you keep doing the same thing.
All right. So here is the reason why when I looked at this, the Spirit kind of hit me and go, see, you've been doing this wrong. I'm like, well, wait a minute. But I've been successful. Because when I got saved and lived changed, I pat myself on the back and said, I don't sin like I used to sin. Okay. But I still sin. it just takes me a little longer to get there. That's all.
Because it's just like you could, like I was just telling, it's like you could pour the wine in there, knowing that it could bust, but you decide to not let it ferment all the way, and you end up pouring it out.
All right.
Because you didn't want to wait, but you knew. So it's kind of like, yeah.
You can look at it that way too. So it's different. The parable, when you look at it in the natural, starts to open up things in the spiritual realm that you never saw before. Ooh, yeah. So this started messing me up. I would get angry before I got saved. Oh, I'll cut you in a minute. All right. But I don't get angry like I used to. It takes a good little while for me to get angry.
True, that's true.
But when I reach my breaking point, if you stretch me too far and you get to my breaking point as a Christian, y'all laughing because I know about three or four, you know what I mean. When you just hit my breaking point, you know, when you get to that point where you say, oh, you lucky I'm saved. All right, when you get to that point where you're stretched so far, all of a sudden, you're going to get all of the old me and all of that Holy Ghost and Jesus stuff that was in me. It's out the door. It's nowhere to be found. It's been spilled out. All right? So all you get is old Chuck.
Yeah.
That's why I had to retire.
Yeah.
New children may not come up.
So I realized that I was living my life changed, which is good, because I saw the difference. And was God blessing me in my change? Yes, he was. But what I realized, according to this parable, he could not fill me all the way up, and he could not give me his best. And I was satisfied getting what he was breaking off a little bit, all right? But I was never going to get into his best, and he's never going to give me his best until I become brand new. Now, might be taking some liberties here, so let me try to get this back to Scripture. Because this is what I saw as I saw this. All right, let me give you an example in my life. I think some of you guys already know this story or whatever. But then let me give you two scriptures that I saw in the Bible. Two stories in the Bible. Three stories in the Bible, really. And I think that'll take us to where we need to go. When I was in seventh grade, I was a big fat kid. Some of you guys know this. Oh, I know. I was huge. All right. I know. I would have to do it. And one of the upperclassmen, because this is a brand new school that I was in, and one of the upperclassmen used to extort me for ice cream money. Mm. And he would take my 15 cents or my 25 cents and take my Nutty Buddy from me. Now, Nutty Buddy. Oh, with the sugar cone. Yes. Mm-hmm. Sugar cone. And the ice cream, the vanilla ice cream. And then you got the... Then you got the little chocolate coating on top with some nuts at the top.
You stop grilling now.
Yeah. No, I'm starting the old wineskin. I'm starting to reach my breaking point. I feel like I want to cut somebody again. But anyway, for about 3 or 4 months, I did without a Nutty Buddy. I tried to duck this guy or whatever. He'd catch me and I'd give him the 25 cents or whatever. And you know, never took my lunch money or whatever. I wasn't that much of a softie or whatever. But he'd take the ice cream money. One day I stood up to him, and he never took my ice cream money again. And I promised myself that I would never, ever let anybody take advantage of me like that again, embarrass me like that again, disrespect me like that again. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The problem is, I promised myself that, and I carried that through my Christian life. So my wife knows what ice cream money time is. My kids found out what ice cream money time is. Folk on my job, some of my supervisors found out what ice cream money is. And even some church folk who I felt disrespected me found out what ice cream money is. Ice cream money time means that's when I hit my breaking point. I feel like you just disrespected me, and it ain't going down like that. And I don't need Jesus to get me through this. I can handle this all by myself. And I brought the old into the new. And that limits. And it makes you a hypocrite. And people are wondering, I thought you had Jesus. Hey, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to do. Because you just stretched me too far. And then I did not realize, and I didn't even want to get rid of it. I used to make jokes about ice cream money time in my Bible study. And then one of the inmates came to me and said, "Don't you think you want to be delivered from ice cream money time?" And I looked at him, and I told him, no. And it goes back, I know, wow. And it goes back to what she read in Luke 5:39, which means nobody who has drunk the old wine is interested in the new, because they still like the old. And as long as it's still working for me, because I can recover and say, hey, I can recover and say, hey, I'm still better than what I was before. I never saw the need to change. And nobody ever broke this parable down to me and the scriptures down to me to make me understand or even really explain to me 2 Corinthians 5:17 to let me know you cannot be changed and get God's best. You must be new.
To me, that's why so many people, there's still so many that don't know Jesus, because they seem to think, even though they're deceived, that what they got going is good.
Let me just take it to the hood.
Okay. It's wonderful.
Now, back in the day, I didn't have a whole lot of money. But we used to drink wine.
Man, 2020.
know what? I said I was going to the hood, but I guess the hood was... I guess white folks was in the hood too, so here we go. Because I made a list. And somebody just added to my list. Morgan David, was that it?
Morgan David.
Morgan David. I didn't do that one, but I remember it. Why, it was cheap. Wild Irish Rolls, Cisco, Mad Dog, Night Train. What's the word?
Thunderbird.
That's, and then Boone's Farm Apple Red. There you go. All right. Now. When we were drinking that stuff, we thought that was the good stuff.
Yeah.
And nobody was trying to drink anything any different. Because that's what we knew and that was good enough. All of a sudden, somebody introduced me to Blue Nun and Cold Duck. Hey, it was a step up. Now, time out. All of us who kind of ran those things out, son's so confused right now. But everybody that ran that, who those names, is anybody trying to go out and drink that stuff right now?
No.
Why not?
Horrible.
because you recognize
that it ain't the best.
That it's not the best. And that there's something better than what you're doing right now. And that's why I went to Luke instead, because in Luke verse 39 it says nobody who's drinking Boone's Farm Apple Red, and that's all they know, is trying to get a nice Cabernet. And what God is saying here is, nobody who's been doing this the old way, Old Testament way, Old Works way, Old Chuck way, Old Ice Cream Money way, is ever going to say, I need to change, because they're going to think that what they're doing and how they're living their Christian life is good enough. Let me give you a couple of biblical examples, because I might be taking a whole lot of liberty here, and you really need to test this against the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to see if this is correct, because maybe this is just my revelation. So, Abraham in Genesis, starting around chapter 15 or whatever. You know the story, so I'm not going to go there for the sake of time. God calls Abraham out of his daddy's land in Haran and says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to give you my best, parenthetically. And he leaves Haran. And he leaves by faith. And God blesses him along the way. But he had this little thing that he would do when he got in trouble. Hey, wife, son knows the story. Tell him that you're my sister, which was a half-truth, but a full lie. Tell him you're my sister instead of my wife so that I don't get killed. Still on the journey. Still trying to move to God's best, which is the promise of Isaac. Made some mistakes along the way that we'll see next week when Ishmael pops up. And God has to correct him and says, Ishmael, that's not what I'm talking about here. I still got my best involved. But he goes to Ishmael. Oh, and we're going to talk about the Ishmael thing too. That's big. Because remember when, this is a side, I shouldn't even go here. Remember when Sarah kicked Hagar, thank you, and Ishmael out?
Right.
And I thought that was just so cruel.
I did too.
We're going to talk about why that was straight up.
What
all right. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that next week, if God's here. All right. So Abraham is 75 when he leaves.
Mm-hmm.
He goes almost 25 years, and he rolls up against this other king and plays that little trick that he used to do. And God intercedes yet again and tells him, let me save this boy again. Mm-hmm. So the king goes to him and says, why did you do this to me? Y'all know the Bible. Good. Yeah, let's talk. Why did you do this to me? And now you know Abraham can't minister to the man because he just deceived the man. So he's a defrocked preacher now, you know. And Abraham confesses for the first time and says, ever since I left Daddy's house, I had this plan that if I ever got in trouble, you're my sister and not my wife. And when he confesses, God allows him to pray for and minister to the king that he deceived before. And the king could have said, man, you can't pray for me. You can't minister to me. And now all of a sudden, because of his confession, Abraham prays for and ministers to the king. And guess what happens within the next year? Isaac. Question. Why did God wait 25 years to bless him with something that he could have blessed him with sooner? He had to get rid of that old plan. Because God is not going to bless you with his best or what you're waiting for until you are brand new. Let me give you another example in the Bible. Children of Israel in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. When they crossed the Red Sea, what happened? What's chasing them? The Egyptian army, which represents what? The old. And God allowed them to see the old like a bath, like dirt in a bathtub ring in the Red Sea to let them know that the old is washed away. Behold, all things have become new.
But they were not.
You know the story. Does God bless them on the, when they go to the wilderness, where are they headed? Promised land. Which represents what?
The new.
And God's best. While they're there on the journey, does God bless them along the way?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In what way does God bless them along the way? You said it right there. Don't go no further. He blesses them with manna. They look at the manna and go, what is this? In fact, that's what manna means. What is this? I was expecting chicken and waffles. And you blessed me with some holy Frosted Flakes. Did the Frosted Flakes manna come from heaven?
Yes.
Was that God blessing them with something?
Yes.
Did God break off a little something to give them to keep them along the way as they were on their way to his best, the new? Because we all know, in the natural, milk and honey is a whole lot better than some Frosted Flakes.
Yes.
And that's where I realized I messed this up because I was satisfied with the flakes and the manna and missed the fact that I'm trying to get to the promised land, bringing that old stuff out of Egypt, that old stuff out of 7 years. I don't know what your ice cream money time might be, but we need to leave it wherever it came.
Sounds like we need to give our ice cream money to God.
Amen.
Let me keep going. When did they finally get to the promised land?
40 years later.
Yeah. Why did it take 40 years?
They were disobedient.
And you had to kill off the old stuff that followed you back over in there that was changed but not brand new. Were the old folk that died off in the wilderness, were they changed?
No.
Yes, they were. Because they changed their location and their P.O. address from Egypt to the wilderness. But they never got to the promised land because they had that old thing. Ah, it was better when it was back. We ain't got no water out here.
Okay.
Yep.
Kill them all.
Grown every time it did.
They got impatient. Very impatient.
So,
well, when things got tough on them, they look back to Egypt from where they came.
Yeah.
Therefore, when I'm brand new, when I'm brand new, I have no breaking point. You can't stretch me too far because I'm new. And as the Lord blesses me, and as I go through trials, and as I go through tribulations, as I go through challenges, I can be stretched because the Spirit just increases. So the more the problem arises, the more I get stretched with what God fills me with so I can expand, because God wants to expand something in us, but He knows He can't do it unless He limits what He puts in us, or He just breaks off manna. And for 2022, I'm not looking for manna type blessing. I want God's best in 2022, and I can't do it unless I'm brand new.
And how do we get
brand new?
What did he say?
She said, how do you get brand new? Let's get there. Let me get Deb's question first. Go ahead. Well, there's your answer, Sandra. Deb said it's a process. Now, don't make me go back to ice cream money time when I go through these steps on how you're supposed to get to brand new. All right? Oh, thank you very much. You just kept a preacher from cussing on Sunday and going back and just spilling everything that he had in him or whatever. Thank you very much. All right. So, Sandra, there's a four-step process.
Yep.
A four-step process for how to be new rather than changed. Step number one. You got to have humility. And you have to recognize the need to change. Remember Luke chapter 5 verse 39. If you do not see the need for a change, you will still be drinking MD 2020, Old English 800, Coke 45, malt liquor, whatever. Bud Light, Rolling Rock, whatever. I know. God wants to give you a microbrew. Now, look here, I'm not. That's like cold duck. But anyway, all right. Until you recognize the need to change, until you recognize the need to leave that old stuff behind, you will never get past step number one. Pick up your cross. Humility. Recognize the need. Two.
Repent.
Repent from what? Your sin. Or repent from that way of thinking.
The old way.
That old mind. You got to repent from that old mind. I'm going to change. I got a need to change. And I'm not going to do this. I'm changing my mind about ice cream money time. All right? Step three.
A new me,
new hope. So now you put that hope in what?
The word,
in the Lord. So now you need a word. And we already talked about it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a good word to put your hope in. So now I'm approaching things with a new mind. I'm walking in newness of life because I got a new scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All right. Now, let me show you how this works. I don't think I did this last week. We got some time. All right. Does anybody here pray for everlasting life? Does anybody ask God for everlasting life?
No. I give Him praise for it. I'm thankful for it.
Yeah. I pray like Roger prays. I don't pray for everlasting life. I thank Him for everlasting life. Which means, even though I'm still alive, and even though I still have to die or get raptured, I praise and thank God for everlasting life. I have it already, even though I know it has not been manifested yet. I have it, and I thank him for it. How do you and I get to the point that we praise God for everlasting life rather than ask him? How do we know we already have it?
Well, when I was saved, I could tell the change.
Okay, change. All right.
I could tell the Holy Spirit was in
me. Amen.
I could understand the gospel.
Okay. Oh,
it's
the gospel.
It's a promise, too.
It's a promise from where?
From his word.
Oh! So, wait. So, we don't ask for everlasting life. We claim and thank him for everlasting life because we believe in the word. So, our faith in the word, we look at this word and we say, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever believeth in him and this word shall not perish but have everlasting life. And in the verse in Romans that says, I keep getting confused whether it's chapter 8 or chapter 10 or whatever, that says, if I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. And so we read that word, we believe that word, and by faith we don't ask him for it. We walk in newness and claim it. So here's how you can live new rather than changed. If anybody be in Christ, he is a
new creature.
So I don't have to ask him to make me new. I claim it and I thank him for making me new. And that was my problem. I was asking God to change me and asking God to make me new, and I was not doing the same thing that I was doing in my basic salvation, in that I'm already claiming it. That is my hope. My hope is that my hope is in this word. My faith is in this word. I'm not changed anymore. I'm brand new, which means now I am eligible for God's very best in 2022. Because I'm new. He can fill me up. I ain't going to bust. I ain't going to cuss you out. I ain't going to go after that crazy relative of mine. I'm good.
You going to still love me?
I'm going to still love. I got one. There's a step four.
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reminds me, empowers me, refreshes me, and keeps me straight. Because sometimes when I'm thinking I'm new, stuff will happen that will cause me to not be new. And the Holy Spirit is that power that has me continually thinking I'm new. What do you got, Roger?
Well, we're all new skins, but the problem we have is we restrict the spout where he can't fill us up.
Okay. And we have to make room for him to fill us up by making room by getting rid of the old stuff. Does any of this make sense?
Yes. All of it.
And let me tell you, now, Deb mentioned something about new is pricey. Ain't nobody trying to buy no new cars. I ain't strapped like that. I'm not trying to buy a new car. I would love to have a new car, but I can't buy a new car with these COVID prices. I can get me a used car, all right, which will be a change, all right, because I don't want to pay the price for the new car. And I don't care how good the used car is, it's still not new. And you don't have to worry about God trying to put you in something that you can't afford, because he's already paid the price. You ain't in the new car because you just choose not to follow the steps to get in it. I don't know about you, but this changed me. My wife did something to me the other day, about several months ago or whatever, got in an argument or whatever, and she said, hey, look, we're done talking about this. And I'm like, no, we ain't done talking about this. No, we're done talking about this, and if you're going to keep talking about it, I can let you out the car. Now. No. Apple.
The ice cream man is coming.
No. The ice cream man has already stopped. I already put my 25 cents out there. My nutty buddy's in my hand. Boy. And Al, if it wasn't for experience in Psalm 23... I would have jumped out the car and walked the 10 miles to get back to the house. But I had just enough faith not to do that. And I've been holding on to this thing for about a good 10 months or so. Waiting, praying for the opportunity to let her know you don't talk to Big, you don't ever talk to Big Daddy like that. You don't ever. No, we're going to fix this quick, fast, and hurry. And I've been praying to God and asking him, give me the opportunity so I can let this woman know.
You didn't know that wasn't the right way to pray.
So we had a conversation too. I need to find out why you think that wasn't the right way to pray. So a couple days ago, okay. Oh, you trying to put her out the car? Okay. All right. So here we go. Here we go. So 2 days ago, all right, we're sitting at the table. And we're having a conversation. We're like, hey, you know, we need God's best in this relationship. I'm like, yeah. 2022, we need God's best in relationship. You know, this ain't God's best. You know, we're more roommates than anything else. Yeah. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, this lining right up. So she goes, let's just start over from right here. Let's just go from here forward. I'm like, yeah, we need to know each other better. We need to learn each other better. And in my mind, I'm going, yeah, you need to learn that you will never tell a brother to get out your car. That's what you need to learn. We're gonna have that lesson quick, fast, and hurt. And I said, yeah, we need to learn each other. Because there's some things you need to learn about me. And she goes, is it yesterday or even 5 minutes ago? Right now. I said, you mean to tell me from here going forward, you're going to listen to some of the things I want to say when I got a concern? You ain't going to flip the script on me and stuff like that? You actually going to be concerned about me trying to help you be a better, you know, how many, and vice versa or whatever? Oh, yeah, from here going forward. I'm like, now I'm messed up because I need to go back? No.
She said from now. I know
what she said from now going forward. No.
But the problem, though, too, is you were too busy trying to get ready to do this that sometimes you miss the hearing of what she's trying to tell you.
I heard what she's trying to say, but I know. I got to.
He's trying to go back, girl.
It's a New Year's resolution.
Like she knew what she did.
Yeah. You're losing, Chuck.
This is where you're going. But.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm speaking in tongues. I'm losing. And praise God.
You're looking at Egypt.
Yeah, that's good.
So I walked away from the table and shook her hand and said, agreed. From here. And we're moving forward. The marriage is.
I'm assuming you repented for all his thoughts.
Oh, I did. I was good. And then I woke up the next day. And it came back like a zombie. But I went to step four.
The Holy Spirit.
Just keeps reminding me, by faith, you're new. You're new. I don't want anybody, my wife, my kids, my job, my passions, my love, the lady that cut me. We came to the stop sign. I know I stopped my car first. And I'm on the right side of her. Even if you get there as a tie, I got the right of way. I paused and I looked. And when I got ready to go, here she come. And I watched her go in front of me. And I'm like, and she went straight and I was going this way. And I'm like, you know what? People can't drive in Alabama. You can't drive. You're going to take advantage of a brother. I'm sitting here. You know I got the right of way. Do I need... I had to stop.
Yep. Thank God.
Remind myself, I'm new.
That's
what the Holy Spirit does when you allow.
It'll all right. And then you won't make a comment. You just let it go.
I let it go because I'm new. Yep. I don't want anybody, anything on the outside of me keeping me from God's best in 2022. I'm brand new. I don't want to live my life changed anymore. I want to be brand new. Change is always associated with new. But change is not always new. And this scripture says, I'm new and I can walk in newness of life. I'm getting what he has for me. Milk and honey blessings in 2022.
And they'll get used to you.
Get used to what?
You not having something smart to say. Even when you're driving, you know, if they're coming across, you just smile and say, okay.
Yeah, God is working.
You didn't crash.
I said
that's
that because I'm down to one vehicle now. That's the first thing I said was, you know what? Hey, at least she didn't hit you. Praise the Lord. Just keep on. Just be new. Just keep on. Any last thoughts or comments before we close this out? And we'll pick up in Matthew, and then I'll do the theology piece, and then we'll move on to the next parable, which is the mustard seed. Yeah. Thoughts?
One comment.
Yes, ma'am.
None of us are perfect drivers. We all make mistakes, and so when the other people make mistakes on us, we have to give them
grace. Amen. The same grace that we need from the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Any other thoughts?
So this is a very, very good lesson in discussion.
Very good. You're starting the year
right. Yeah, messed me up, but anyway.
Well, it's also many things that I didn't get from it before
either. I wish. You know, I was comfortable in where I was at, didn't realize I was missing his best, and we're going to see some more of that next week. But I just didn't know anybody. I just didn't know this word like this. I just didn't. Nobody taught me this. I don't think they knew to teach me this.
Verse 39,
Chuck, is something. Verse 39, isn't that something?
Yes, sir.
I didn't want to change because I didn't see the need to change because I was better. And I'm patting myself on the back being changed. Woo! I didn't go off on you. Woo! I'm so good.
Nobody ever told me I needed to read my Bible every day.
Yeah.
I didn't learn that for years and years and years.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in Christian homes. I didn't know it. And I was never told.
Yeah. All right. Good to see everybody. I kept these.